in a white room with black curtains near the station. Black roof country, no gold pavements, tired starlings. Silver horses ran down moonbeams in your dark.
One of the summer comedies the critics are picking to click, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. It is said to have the comedic value of American Pie, the comedic theme of Road Trip, and just a hint of Dude, Where's My Car or My Burger or whatever. The stars of the movie are John Cho and Cal Penn. John's been in several feature films, but will probably be best known for the rest of his life as the guy who introduced the world to the term MILF in American Pie. Cal also has a ton of film credits, including the hilarious portrayal of Ty in National Lampoon's Van Wilder. John Cho and Cal Penn, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. How are you guys?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Cool. Dude, wonderful.
That was a groovy intro.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
That was
thank,
cool.
Thank you. Joe wrote that. Let's give Joe a hand.
Yeah, Joe.
Thank you, guys.
You know, it's been a while, I think, since a nice movie like this has come out, one that was actually, you know, a huge hit and really funny, and you guys are just the guys to do it. I understand that White Castle did not, like, bid on this. They didn't pay for this.
No.
The title placement and all of that. I mean, it just could have as easily been, you know, you guys go to IHOP.
That's true, which is one of the cool things, you know, about it. The writers are from New Jersey, and they were big White Castle fans growing up. So they you know, that was the destination in the movie, and we actually didn't even have permission from White Castle to use the name until halfway through shooting. So, you know, luckily we got it, but it definitely was not one of those product placement things that you see in Hollywood.
We were really scared because of the drugs in the movie that they wouldn't want to attach themselves to the movie.
Yeah, but they know their audience. They know their people.
they do.
The two things we heard were that they know their audience, whether they admit it or not, and they were also really attracted. Like, the theme of the movie is less about the weed and the burgers and more about the friendship of these two guys.
Absolutely.
So they loved, you know, they loved that, and they were proud to be on board.
I grew up in Tennessee, and we ate Crystals, which are exactly the same as White
Castles. Yeah, same thing.
Little burgers, and I'm surprised they didn't do Harold and Kumar Go to Crystal. It would have been the same thing with people just talking a little funnier along the way.
Talking a little funnier.
And by the way, in this movie, of course, we should mention for some people who have never heard of White Castle what it is, because we don't have them here in Seattle.
Right.
I don't know if there are any on the West Coast. It's a burger joint, and unlike Wendy's, which went with Where's the Beef, like big burgers. Burgers places always go half pound, quarter pound, the big cholesterol burger.
Yeah.
They're tiny little hamburgers.
Think of this as the Toyota Prius of hamburgers compared to the Wendy's SUV. That would be the Escalade. Uh-huh.
Well, except that you're going to drive eight Priuses at a time because this is a bag of gas.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is the attraction? They're like Dunkin' Donuts and Munchkins. You get a whole bag of them.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. You know, you want morsel-sized food when you're stoned or drunk. I think you're attracted to chips, little Doritos.
Yeah, I have a theory too. I think that they, you know, the burgers are so tiny that when you're trashed, you want to put something that looks like a toy in your mouth. And they look like little toys.
Is that what you like? Do you like toys in your mouth when you're...
I was gonna say.
That's weird, that's weird.
What kind of research did you guys do to prepare for these roles?
I got really buff.
Yeah. You guys actually sound... What's really nice is you guys actually sound like real buddies out of the roles now, just the two of you on the phone. Would you say that... I don't know if you were friends before, but have you become buddies from doing this?
We're
actually
each other
in separate studios across town.
We hate each other.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, we had to go through coaching.
We weren't friends. We met each other during the audition, and we have become friends since. We made an effort to become friends... you know, at the beginning of the shoot, because we were shooting, we just wanted to be convincing as best friends, and it wasn't hard at all. So we just got along really well.
All right, it's very nice. Now, this movie is supposed to be just absolutely hilarious. Even the critics, you know, sometimes the critics pan comedy movies, and yet they go on to do well anyway. And it's kind of nice if the critics like it too. What do you think is, without giving anything away, could you give a little something away?
Hmm. What can we
give away? Outside of stoners who eat.
This is the kind of cool... there are a lot of cameos in the movie. And it starts out with these stoners who are not... They're not the kind of stoners that wake up at 2 in the afternoon and you know, hit the bong and order pizza. They're weekend smokers. They're after-work stoners.
Which is more responsible.
They are. They actually... And the kids. A lot of the reaction...
They pay for their weed with checks.
Yeah. There you have it, baby. There you go.
And so they go on this road trip that a lot of cameos, like a couple of our friends were in it, Anthony Anderson, Jamie Kennedy, Ryan Reynolds, Eddie K. Thomas, and then there's also like Fred Willard from Best in Show.
Oh, yeah, we know. He's legendary.
Yeah, so it's like guys like that who didn't really need this movie for their resume at all. You know,
we
we did, obviously.
Yeah, really.
So when they came on board, we were just kind of like, this is really cool that they like the script enough and see, like, that it's got all that, you know, heart or the buddy movie stuff in it. And so they came in and totally tore up, like, these scenes. Every third day, we'd have a new guy coming in. So you've got, like, Fred Willard doing his thing, Neil Patrick Harris playing a really perverted version of himself. He played Doogie Howser, of course.
Yes. So he does play Doogie Howser in this movie. And did you have to write Doogie Howser into the script? And did you have a backup plan if Doogie Howser wasn't available?
He was written into the script from day one, actually.
Really?
There were two specific things that were written into the first draft of the script. And it was Neil Patrick Harris and White Castle. And that's what everyone was sweating. Are we going to get Neil Patrick to do this? And is White Castle going to sign off on it?
By the way, White Castle, even though there are no White Castles here, stopped here this morning and just handed us each three burgers.
All right.
Joe's eating
one right now.
We are sliding right now, buddy.
It's a little early. It's a little early. Joe
had nasty. Oh, by the
way, late.
Buddy movies like this always include incredibly beautiful young actresses who love you guys and just can't see what losers you are. Who can we look forward to?
That was very well put.
Well put.
I like that.
Love you, baby.
Movie intro, now this.
That's actually true.
I know.
There's a beautiful actress named Paula Garces who plays Harold's love interest. And then there are also a couple of girls along the way. The characters are named the Diarrhea Twins.
And they're British.
Which doesn't sound appealing, but when you see them...
Oh, contraire!
But they're incredibly beautiful, and you would just put up with it anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. It's Brooke Dorsey and Kate Kelton are their names.
And Malin, who plays the freak show's wife.
The token.
This is a hard R. This is so...
This is a hard R. We want to know
nudity.
That's good.
Sell it, baby.
You remember nudity left R-rated comedies for a while?
Yes.
Nudity left the room.
And remember how some PG-13 movies had a little bit, and then they took it away?
Yeah, this
is a hard R.
I like that. And these gals, now, a lot of times, these are actresses, they're wonderful. A lot of them go on to become the big, huge stars of tomorrow.
Yeah. And you know,
you get to work with them when they're young and nubile.
You know, do you remember how Bea Arthur started? I mean, she was like the babe.
She did porn, right?
So yeah. She was the babe in those comedies. Look at her now.
Truthfully, though, one of the things the writers and Danny Leonard, the director, really wanted were they wanted solid actresses. Because the way the script was written has that, like, it doesn't go down the obvious route.
Good.
So even if you've got the really hot chick, she's not dumb necessarily. She's not, you know, and that was kind of cool, obviously, for us to play with as actors, and it was awesome to have an actress who was talented and hot.
Now, in real life, are you guys tied down? Are you still available?
I am single, my buddy.
Because I think, not that you're going to need the attention, but a great plan to really get this movie in the faces of everybody, if you could just be seen with either one of the Bush twins or one of Carrie's daughters.
You know, I was trying to ask out Jenna.
Yeah.
Sure thing.
Yeah.
Which one's Jenna? Is she the blonde?
She's a stoner.
Yeah, she's the...
Oh, yeah. Like daddy. Yep. Oh, man! No!
You know, the FBI is going to knock on the door of the studio in about 5 minutes.
Ah,
dude, it's all about sequels, and Harold and Kumar Go to White House. It's a stone's throw from Wonderful.
Jailhouse.
Hey, Cal, I see in the credits here that you're also listed as a production assistant on this movie.
That's true.
But you're credited as your given name, your birth name, Kalpan Modi, right?
Yeah.
Is that so your Indian relatives back there who hold the cow sacred don't know you're eating sliders?
No, it was actually, you know, I used my stage name, Cal Penn, I changed it to that.
Right.
When I first started acting, you know, it was hard to break in, and a couple of friends suggested I have a more, like, anglicized name. And I really didn't want to do it, and I changed it on my headshot to prove them wrong, like as a joke.
Right.
And my auditions actually did go up. So I was horrified, obviously, but I kept it on my resume that way. And for this movie, it really would, you know, it meant a lot to me to have both names in there.
Right on.
So I PA'd for a day, got everybody coffee, and got the credit on there.
John Cho, you're obviously well known for being the guy that basically created a whole acronym for the whole world that is now as well known as the name of the president. And and MILF is a term now that people, you know, people use actually routinely. Everybody knows what it is. Obviously, I'm sure you didn't come up with a term, but I'm wondering how that feels. And also, is there a term in this movie, John, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, that you think may become a household term as well?
First of all, in answer to your first question, it feels stunning to be at the forefront of culture, to really be at the, you know, be leading the vanguard of linguistics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was one of those terms that was just like floating around out there, and, you know, the movie kind of gelled all of that together, because everyone that saw the movie was like, hey, I thought it was just a term that me and my buddies used, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just one of those things that came along right at the right time. And I'm not sure what's in this movie. It's what's in our movie that'll be the new MILF term. But I'm going to say there's going to be a couple that'll come out. I just don't know which yet.
All right, thanks, guys. John Cho and Cal Penn at Key Club Studios in Los Angeles. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Fellas, thanks a lot.
Thank you guys a lot.
You bet. Congratulations.
Thank you.
In two out of the three, like, for example, personality and money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lots of money. Wonderful person.
Dynamic. Fun.
Looks like a problem. You know, Elephant Man. Could you marry him?
Oh, God. I don't know. Elephant Man? That ugly?
Well, look, here's the thing. I want it to be ugly enough so you have to really think about it.
What is she doing with him?
Right. Like Rodney Dangerfield.
You might not have to drain. You might not have to drain his sores every day. I'm not saying that.
You know, I'd almost say looks and personality, because personality could include ambition, meaning he could eventually earn money.
We're not asking you to pick two of the three. We're just saying, will you date somebody who's only got one?
No, you wouldn't date somebody who's only
got one.
An ugly man with no money who was the nicest person on the world. Too bad.
Sorry, Charlie.
Yeah. An ugly man who had a wonderful personality, clearly a soulmate.
Yeah, then I'd have to...
And a bunch of money.
Buck up.
Yeah.
You'd have to just...
I'd have to just bite the bullet and use a lot of darkness.
That laser eye surgery, can it go the other way? Can you?
I'm in here to have my division reduced. 8:33. All right, let's check the news stories. And here's Casey with the top stories.
Alrighty then. Pakistan's government has confirmed the arrest of an al-Qaeda suspect wanted by the U.S. They detained Ahmed Khalfan Gilani during an operation in the eastern city of Gujarat. Pakistani Interior Minister Faisal Salih Hayat says the suspect has a $25 million bounty on his head and is now being questioned.
He involved, in fact, one of the key figures in the bombings in Kenya and in Tanzania in 1998 on the U.S. Embassy.
He's named as one of the top 22 most wanted terrorists by the FBI, so this is definitely an important catch.
$25 million, does someone collect? Is there a villager who's collecting the $25 million?
I like my new hammer, huh? I didn't know what you're talking about, traitor. No, I scratch him in lottery. Come on over, we'll watch ball game on a big screen flat plasma vision with satellite dish.
All right, I mean, if you get that money,
I'm dating one of the Kerry girls. She bought everything. She paid for everything. Traitor, ugly word.
$25 million is a big finder's fee.
I'd like to be worth that much. Just for finding me?
Something.
Jeez.
That's a lot of jang.
Speaking of the daughters of Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry, I actually have some audio of, I think it's Alexandra. So she's relating a story about her dad. I think she's attempting to make him look good. She's talking about a trip they took on a boat, and her sister's hamster fell into the water, and here's what happened.
My dad jumped in, fished the cage from the water, hunched over the soggy hamster, and began to administer CPR.
This is the end. My furry friend, the end.
Oh, man.
That's just not an image I...
Carrie, what kind of bravery did it take for you to fish the hamster from the water and give it CPR?
It was a moment in my life that defined my life, the values taught to me by my father. Never to waste money. A new hamster would have been over $3.
There was a flag on your yacht waving in the wind above your head when you did that.
The choppers are flying. Hallelujah.
Man.
That's nice, though. That goes to show that he has compassion even for... You know,
hamsters?
The little people.
Yeah, yeah. The last thing he
it
wants to
do. It goes to show you he has mouth to mouth with rodents. That's scary.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, what kind of an image is that?
We're in Richard Gere territory.
Yeah,
now.
We're going to take a little straw and pop it in his mouth there. And
it goes to show you he loves his daughters. If Emily had a little rat, she
would
was
you give it mouth to mouth?
If she was standing right there.
By the way.
That was divine intervention.
That was divine intervention, because yep. I mispronounced mouth.
If she's standing there bawling her eyes out saying, Daddy, do something, I'd do whatever it took to try to, you know, bring that animal back. That's a nice thing.
You'd put your lips on a mouse?
If that's what it took to
make your baby happy?
Yeah.
You, look at you.
What about a dog?
I'd rather go with the dog than the
mouse?
Yeah, because I've kissed dogs before. They're not bad. I mean, it's been a long time, but, you know, you've had...
Are we talking ugly women now?
You know, some people with their dogs, mm-hmm. I've seen this.
Oh, yeah.
They tongue each other.
I hate that.
Really?
I hate that so much.
Mike?
Mike?
We've seen kiss Mike. Me. I don't kiss back.
We've seen Mike French his
oh,
dog.
Oh, no.
You have not.
Okay.
I only do that in private.
Okay.
I've seen you French the dog. I've seen you literally swap tongue.
Uh-huh. You have not you when? Have.
I saw it once, it scarred me forever. I almost went on Wellbutrin.
You saw it in your dreams, maybe.
There are people that do it. There are people that actually tongue their dog all the time.
It's disgusting.
Supposedly, the dog's mouth is germ-free. Does anybody have more... Dahonies than Mike that are willing to admit that they tongue their dog, that they kiss it, and they actually touch tongue.
Oh, I know you're out there. I see you.
1-800-252-1025. Mike, if you don't have the wherewithal to admit it, I understand.
I think licking back's a little freaky. Yeah. It's okay to let the dog come up and lick your face a little. Right, I mean, that's okay.
Sure, he just finished a big round of his own poo in the backyard. Hasn't quite had a mint or milk bone yet, but let him lick your face.
252-1025.
One of the most common commands I give is no lick.
Now,
that's to the dog, right?
Thank you.
He's telling the dog what not to lick before
right,
licking.
Right, right.
No lick. You're going to save that for me. We have a correction. This is my buddy Chuck. Chuck.
Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Yes.
How you doing?
Did we take something out of context, Chuck?
Oh, no, not well. You always take stuff out of context, but that's the business, I guess.
Just doing our job.
Actually, right after you cut off the audio clip, she says, jokingly, there were reports of mouth-to-mouth, but those are a family legend or something like that.
Which means, just like Mike, they are a cover-up.
Cover-up,
mm-hmm.
Yep. Muskrat love. Uh-huh.
All right, Chuck.
It was a cute story, and it was fun to hear her listen to it, or tell it. But, yeah, it seemed a little over the top for my taste.
Thank you, Chuck. Here is Chris from Montlake Terrace. Chris.
Yes, I have a good friend who has a Savannah monitor lizard, and she's very into this lizard, and because they touch tongues in the wild to communicate, she touches tongues with her Savannah monitor lizard, which I think kind of beats rats or mice or dogs. And as a veterinarian, I've done CPR on pretty much all of those. But
incidentally... thank you for calling, Chris. We have plenty of people who will say, oh, I've seen someone do that, but no one is willing to admit it. You're ashamed. Ashamed of touching the dog's tongue with your tongue.
Yeah, I'm sticking that there.
Oh, God.
She said she's done CPR on all those animals. That's pretty darn good. I mean, even the CPR on a person, I think... It would be hard for me to do, but to be a vet and to breathe life into dogs and cats. That's
when you
noble.
Have a mouse, do you do
What's
this?
The thing where you pound the chest? What's that called?
That's CPR.
That's part of CPR,
it's part
too.
Part of CPR.
Yeah.
You jumpstart the heart again. When they fibrillate mice, they use really tiny little paddles like the size of watch batteries. Clear! Clear!
Like David in Renton is willing to admit it, he licks his cat's nose. Right, Dave?
Yeah, I think Joe would probably do this, too. The cats are very affectionate. They're always coming up licking your fingers. So I'll give my cat a little kiss on the head, a peck on the nose, and then lick the nose. The cat kind of looks back at you, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Who else wants to talk about heavy petting with their animals? Who has love with their animals? Now I'm not talking the really bad stuff.
Oh, whoa.
Talking who licks their animals' faces.
Curl up in bed.
Curl up in bed with your animals.
Throw an arm over.
A lot of people do. And by the way, since the calls are coming in, but there's not that many of them, who wants to tell on someone else? 1-800-252-1025. Dan in Seattle. Dan, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. You're on, Dan.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got this dog that he's a old world red American pit bull. He gets pretty excited sometimes when you're playing around with him, and he doesn't know if he's a dog or cat half the time, and he starts licking your face, and most of the time the tongue goes in the mouth, and our tongues touch all the time.
Oh, the pit bull, you can't say no. He's on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He'll rip off your face if he has to get to your tongue
mad,
that way.
They're just naturally loving dogs. They just get, you know, crazy with the tongue, like they wag their tail. And
if you didn't let him tongue you, you would not be a good owner.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, I wouldn't be his dad then, I guess, you know.
His dad.
Look at that. Thank you, Dan. Vesta. Vesta is in Seattle. Hello, Vesta.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Yes, when my daughter was little, she's about 1 year old or so, she used to suck on the cat's ears all the time. And
what?
She would suck on the cat's ears.
That's what I
just
thought.
Training. She's in training.
Well, yeah, 1 year olds, they suck on literally anything you leave out. I mean, I hate to say it.
Yeah. So the cat would be running around with sopping wet ears all the time.
That is a great cat, by the way, that doesn't, you know, a one-year-old. Man, that cat could hurt a kid if it wanted to, and to let it be tolerant enough to let a kid suck on its ears.
The cat,
cat enjoys the sucking on the ears.
Yeah.
Cat's like, man, this is good. I didn't even have to spread peanut butter on him.
Yeah, this cat was really great. Yeah, he was really tolerable.
And Vesta, wait a minute. You're the mom?
Yes, I am. I'm the mom.
And you would just, look at that. Ain't that cute? You didn't try to stop it?
Well, I did at first, and
it was just not to be denied. It was a love not to be denied.
Right.
The cat probably put up with it till the actual teething started. How did that go?
Oh, man.
Even until she got teeth. Kendra, my daughter, wouldn't hurt the cat at all. Just drag the cat around and just suck on the ears. And it was quite cute. It was pretty funny.
Thank you. 1-800-252-1025. The subject is heavy petting with your animals.
Sweaty petting.
Sweaty, heavy petting. Any animal will qualify. Mary in Seattle is involved with her parrot.
Mary? Good morning, Boss Spike and Joe.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. I have a parrot, and we flick tongues all the time.
How did it
and
start?
And he, in fact, insists on drinking my saliva.
Insists.
You fill your mouth with saliva
man,
like
go
this.
Ahead, though, man.
No, the parrot actually forces me to open my mouth, sticks his head in my mouth, and drinks my saliva.
Your mouth is a human bird feeder?
How does it force you? Does it threaten to, I'll show your boss?
Well, he has a pretty powerful beak, and he just pushes against my teeth and makes me open my mouth, and then he flicks his tongue and then drinks my saliva.
Hi, Dr. Phil.
And he loves it.
And you love it too, don't you?
Well, I do what he wants.
Is that as far as it goes, is the mouth thing?
Mary, yeah, Mary, do you have...
Birds don't have external genitalia.
That's not what I'm asking.
I'm scared now. Mary, do you have a man?
I'm married.
Yeah, well, all right, so then it's questionable, isn't
it? And
what
is... What?
The bird is jealous of him, though.
Really? What happens when has the bird ever caught the two of you?
Well, the bird is not even allowed anywhere. My husband won't go anywhere near the bird because the bird would...
I don't like that bird.
Well, the bird would attack
him. He doesn't
him.
Even have external genitalia. What do you see in that thing?
Is he a big talker, too? Does he talk a lot?
Yes.
What does he say?
Yes. He sings I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And he says, I can talk. Can you fly?
What a senior navel. Senior navel. Oh, baby.
He doesn't swear. He doesn't say any bad things. I never taught him that.
Of course.
Of course not.
He's a decent, upstanding member of the Bird Society.
Don't leave on MTV or he will swear, but it'll sound like constant bleeping.
It'll
just be bleeped out. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's another Mary. Mary in Edmonds. Mary?
Hi.
You have a thing going with a donkey named Nugget?
Nugget, yeah. Nugget's one of the original rescue burros out of the Grand Canyon. And every morning when I drive past Nugget's pasture, she's waiting at the fence for me. And I always have like honey wheat bread or carrots or oatmeal cookies or something like that. And I get out and I go up to Nugget and I put the whatever I have in my mouth, and then Donkey just walks up and just takes her right off my lips.
Wow. So she's a lesbero.
Thank you.
We can go further with this.
No, we can't.
Yes, thank you very much. Next up, my wife spoons my Great Dane.
Bark, 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 bark.
Yeah, whatever.
We don't want to bring in other animals. Just stick with the Great Dane.
Yeah, good morning, guys. No, we've had this Great Dane for about 4 years now, and it crawls into bed in the evening and spoons the back of my wife's,
spoon?
She says it's her legs, but it's a Great Dane. So it pretty much spoons her entire body.
So he's in there.
No, she. Female.
She? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Because it'd be a fork.
It's a 160-pound Great Dane.
And you're not jealous?
No, you know, it's part of the family, but I don't know.
I don't see a huge problem. I mean, it's a female Great Dane. They're just right. It's hugging your animal, as long as there's not a camcorder involved.
Right.
Exactly.
All right, that. Thank you.
Marmadike. Sorry.
All right, there's
I'm
a few
sorry,
open lines
that's
now.
Just, come on,
we still
buddy.
Have more. Try to have these callers hold. My cat... We have my cat sucks my earlobe. I had a lab that would drink wine out of my fiancé's mouth. I have to do that one. Kurt and Squim.
Good morning, guys.
How would your lab drink wine out of your fiancé's mouth?
Like any dog would, just lap it up. She wouldn't touch any alcohol otherwise. You put it in her bowl or whatever. Some dogs drink beer, but the only time she... And any times we had wine, she would just get excited as all get out and practically knock her down to get at it.
Did it have to be good wine or just box wine okay?
Oh, she preferred red. She just open up her mouth and the dog would just stick her tongue right in there.
You want to smell the cork, honey? Woo!
Hogzilla killer Christopher Griffin. This is the guy, yesterday we hung the picture on the website of him hanging a boar, which he claimed weighed 1,000 pounds.
1,200.
And so many people, and I understand why people want to believe this. If you've ever been confronted by a wild boar, mm-hmm. It looks as big as a house. So it's sort of like a big fish story.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how untrue it is, everyone will say, no, I've seen it.
Well,
I've seen something like that.
Man, I'll tell you what. We had a horse like that one time. He was 37 foot tall.
I got a whole bunch of emails from people that saw hogs, and they would say, oh, I seen one 450 pounds, so he must be telling the truth. Huh? He said 1,000 pounds, and it was
over 1,000.
It was a fake picture,
right?
And no one else got to see it. No one quickly buried it. Didn't keep the head. Anyway, we're trying to find out if he's for real or not.
I got dozens of emails on this yesterday, and they were 50-50. I got half of these people saying, Spike, you're crazy. It's real. That's a real photo.
Yeah, that's what everybody's told me. Says
it's, all your rednecky friends believed it.
Yeah, well, I still believe it. I mean, it looked incredibly big, but maybe he's a...
Joe's fans finish filling out all those coupons for the sweepstakes in the publisher's clearinghouse. Then they email him and say, you're right about everything.
Boy, Joe, you're the man.
The flying saucers is real.
The Hunter, it did not say 6'5" Chris Griffin. He might be a four-footer. I mean, I don't know. It's him standing next to a pig. It doesn't say the man's height.
We did the survey. Check out Chris Griffin posing beside his half-ton wild hog near Alapaha, Georgia. Is it a hoax? 60% of you said yes. 61% said hoax. Look closely at the picture and you'll see that Chris seems to be standing a ways behind Hogzilla. That's exactly how Gimli the Dwarf was made to look small in Lord of the Rings. Folks, you've been had. 39% said, no, wait, it could be real. The winning entry in the annual largest pig contest at the 1998 Iowa State Fair, also named Hogzilla, was 1,100 pounds. Yes, but that one was fattened by man. That one was fed and fattened and shoved in front of...
Relentless food. Not allowed to exercise or move around at all.
Feral pigs are in the wild and have to... fend, and I mean, unless they right. live in a town where the garbage cans are left out on the street and they don't care.
Well, but feral pigs also don't have a man that gets hungry right. and makes them into bacon. They can grow a lot larger because they can live to be a lot older.
Yeah, right. But animals in the wild tend to eat what they need to eat, not more.
So I don't know. And this is, they're all arguing about it where he lives. Chris Griffin, you saw the photo yesterday. Chris is the Georgia hunting guide. Killed the live pig, looks so huge the media has dubbed it Hogzilla. Guess what? He is on the phone with us right now. That photo has made its way all over the world.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people speculate it's a hoax, Chris.
No, sir, it's no hoax. I can guarantee that. I promise you.
Now, why didn't you, and here's what a lot of people say, oh, it's a hoax because he would have kept the head and it would have been mounted on his wall. Why did you bury the head?
Because I wanted, like the old style, from out west, kind of, you know, people put the old cattle head on the fence with just bone on it, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would cost way too much money, and his head was way too big for the little house I live in.
Didn't go with your furniture, yeah.
He'd probably tear the wall down.
Do you have a wife? Are you married, Chris?
No, sir.
Oh, okay, because I know my wife would certainly object if I tried to bring something like that.
How could a feral pig hunting tour guide specimen like you not be snapped up quick by a beautiful bride? How come you're not married?
Because I work all the time, six days a week.
That can happen. When you saw this, I got the impression you knew this pig was out there for a while. He was lurking.
Yes, sir. The plantation owner had said he'd seen him several times, but just got a glimpse of him. So I was like, well, he's out there somewhere. Maybe one day, you know, he'll pop up where somebody can get him or I can take a chance maybe one day.
Why didn't you call the newspaper when you did get him and then there would be all sorts of witnesses and proof? Did you have any idea that people would doubt your story, I guess, is the other question.
Well, I didn't believe, you know, it'd generate like it's done.
Yeah.
And... two, you know, being down here in South Georgia, it's no big deal that you kill an animal of, you know, large proportion like that right. on a plantation. And people, you know, just sometimes they look at it, nah, that ain't real. Because that's what they first said when they seen it around Alapaha. Is that real? I said, yeah. Lord have mercy, that's a big hog.
Lord have mercy.
It is a big hog. I mean, you're a hog hunter. What's the second biggest hog you ever seen other than this one?
The one that Jason Holyoke had took another person out, and it was 695 pounds. Now, and that was about the second biggest I've seen out here.
Chris,
there's another one I seen about a month ago, and I seen it wandering through the plantation, and nobody shot at it.
Chris, we could solve this really quickly, and would you be willing to show people where you buried it and let them go ahead and exhume the thing and prove it once and for all? So that, because a lot of people doubt you, and I got to imagine that's got to stick in your craw.
Well, it does, but the plantation owner wanted him buried because the hog was old and the meat's no good, and he wanted just to take and, you know, bury it, let it be. And he was like, well, it probably won't make that big of a deal. And, you know, didn't realize it will make such a big deal now.
I don't doubt your story for a minute, Chris, but you got to admit it sounds a little suspicious when you've killed a giant hog. What you guys do for a living is take people on this property to hunt hogs. You just mentioned that there might be another giant hog out there that nobody's shot yet.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it sounds like maybe this
There's
is
your
a,
biggest business card of all time
a,
line there.
A sales pitch to go hog hunting with you.
No, sir, but I'm telling you the truth, you know.
Oh, I don't doubt you for a minute.
If you want to come down and hog hunt, we'll line you up. Really?
How much for a day of hog hunting with Joe, and how do we do it? Joe's got to wear special colors so he don't get shot.
He's a big one.
I couldn't tell you what the fees were because Mr. Hollyoak does all that. Because most of the time I pick them up, take them out there, make sure they get all set up, make sure everything's ready for the hog hunter to get what he wants. And then usually at the end of the day I go back out there and pick them up, or can I go pick them up at the end of the day?
Right, so you're not a money grubbing tour guide or anything like that. I can say, you know what, Chris? I've changed my mind just talking to you. You sound like God fearing, honest man,
hard worker,
not in it for the dough or the fame or the glory. And you sound surprised about all that.
Yes, sir, I am.
And you couldn't pay me to go out there hog hunting. I'm not afraid of the hogs, but what's the average size snake you come across in those Georgia woods?
Well, we usually come across three to four foot timber rattlers, and then 5-6 foot eastern diamondback rattlesnakes. Oh. You name it, we come across water moccasins.
Water moccasins.
I'm not getting out there looking for bacon.
So you just leave these people. Well, we'll catch you back this
afternoon. See, I'll pick you up later.
Yeah.
If you hit.
All right.
Because I've seen those pictures in my hometown paper in Mississippi, guys holding up things that look like anacondas that are rattlesnakes.
Yes, sir. I've been to Mississippi.
You sound like it. Sound pretty.
You ever been bit by one of them snakes?
No, sir. I've had the good fortune. I ain't been bitten by a snake yet. I better knock on some wood.
Reach up.
Any of your clients, the people you drop off, get bit during the day?
No, sir. Nobody's gotten bitten that I know of so far. They may have got a wasp sting or something like that, but never snake bitten.
Hey, Chris, I saw the photo. I was one of the non-believers when I saw it. I got to be honest with you. When you saw this thing, was it still alive or did you find it dead?
No, it was still alive.
Okay, when this thing was on all fours, how tall was its back?
I'd say he was at least above my stomach, near my rib cage.
Okay. How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot.
6 foot, so you're, okay. Talking about 4 foot off the back, his back going up, right? His ridge of his back about 4 foot off the ground?
About 4.5 foot off the ground.
How long was he, would you say?
Lord have mercy. It took two of me to get straight past him. And that was with me being straight like the Elastic Man.
12-footer, you think? 12-footer? 14?
He was huge, I'm telling you. If I could take and just be tall like Shaq, I could probably get me and Shaq, and we'd be close to him.
Right on. Now, when you shot him, what'd you bring him down with?
A Remington 7 mag.
7 mags, big gun. One shot?
Yes, sir.
Where'd you hit him? Where'd you hit him?
Right behind the front shoulder.
Nice.
What kind of sound did he make when you hit him? What does a big hog sound like before he goes down?
I bet you can do it. Go ahead, give me the
sound. He was when I fired, he had turned, and I was like, because I thought I missed him the way he turned, and that's how he started saying, he started walking back toward the swamp, mm-hmm. In the swamp, I was like, oh, Lord, I done missed that. Oh, my God.
Now he's angry. All right.
And now he has your face as the last thing in his mind.
Yeah. I hope he don't come back reincarnated.
Now, do you have help burying him?
No, sir.
You dug a hole yourself?
Yeah, with the backhoe.
Oh, with backhoe.
Yes, sir. Okay. I didn't dig it by hand.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say.
All right, Chris. Well, congratulations on the whole deal. You might have to dig him up for some people to believe, or it might just be better that the legend lives on and that the mystery and the debate continues.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Christopher Griffin in Apaha, Georgia. Alapaha.
Georgia.
Alapaha?
Alapaha.
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 Yeah.
A lot of hall in Alapaha.
You have a comedy club there called Alapaha?
No.
All right. Thank you, guy. Bye.
Bye.
Nice guy. He was like Banjo Boy.
Yeah, a guy like that.
He ain't lying.
I've told you, he does not know Photoshop or any of that.
No, he wouldn't know what it was.
No.
Photoshop?
Yeah, they
have
one
of those at the ball.
Right, little booth with a girl in it.
Told you about this. Ford is doing its first green SUV, their first hybrid. It's called the Escape. And they've come out with the... and there's one thing about this Ford that's confusing to me. I'm happy to see hybrids, by the way, offered by all the other car makers. Toyota has done it. Of course, you know, I do the commercials for the TDI Volkswagen stuff. They are, I consider, a great option, alternative to a hybrid. If you're a little scared of new technology that hasn't quite evolved yet, it's the reason I don't have a PDA. I know in 6 months they'll, oh, we found a better way to do it. All of those are obsolete.
Right.
So that's why I haven't got a hybrid yet. But Ford has come out with the Escape. The promotional photo for the Escape shows this Ford SUV. It's a standard-looking SUV. Your friends won't know that you're no longer a gas guzzler.
If you are one of those, you know, Republicans that are proud to look like you're consuming a lot, you'll still fit in.
That's right. And they show it in a field. Did you see this lovely, glossy promotional
Look
photo,
at that.
Picture?
Yeah.
They show it in a field, and what's in that field?
Is that an oil derrick in the back?
No.
Those are wind turbines.
Oh,
those
are like one of those big oil things to me.
Those are wind turbines. See, take a look. Have you ever seen those fields where the solar and,
and
wind power?
That's like a wind farm. That's what it is. We have those in eastern Washington.
We have those?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Can you see them from the highway?
You bet.
Yeah. Okay. More and more so you're starting to see them. If you go out, you know, into Grant County and down on the Columbia, there's a few places where it's always windy, and they're starting to take advantage of that.
Now, that doesn't mean the hybrid is part gas, part sail, is it?
Well, I looked at
it's a multiple-powered car. When you run low on gas, just throw the sail at the roof and... Yeah.
That would be a great car, the sail car. Take advantage of the wind. Well, what was interesting is that when you go to the EPA mileage on these cars, one of the notable things about the hybrids so far has been that they get better mileage in the city than they do on the highway. This is true of the Toyota Prius, and the reason given for that is that in the city... You're using brake pedal, you're using all of these things that actually contribute to the power. I don't know how the brake pedal contributes to the power, but it does. It was explained to me before, but I forgot.
It's like the energy created from that motion or something is going into running your car instead of being sucked off of
it. I guess, and for some reason you get better mileage in the city. Why is it?
It's because as you are applying pressure to the brakes, the friction actually recharges the battery, and you're not using gas.
You have to pump the car as you go?
Sort of. Now, the distinguishing thing, and I looked at all the stats on the Ford Green SUV, but the distinguishing thing is that it's more traditional. 35 miles per gallon city, 40 mile per gallon highway. And I wonder... Why are they the opposite of the other hybrids? Maybe someone who works at a Ford dealer can tell me. Hmm. Although I doubt that you Ford dealers are expert on this. One of the things I found out even with the Toyota guys, when these things first came out, they didn't want to sell them to me.
Why?
Because they were hard to get.
Uh-huh.
They wanted to sell me. Now, wouldn't your wife be more comfortable with the... you know, the Toyota Coliseum over here?
That's
how about the new Mercury Excessive?
Your wife isn't going to like this.
Sure.
The Mercury Excessive.
That's monstrous.
So until, and now that, of course, they have a lot of them, then they want to sell them.
And this will probably be a fairly slow rollout. They're starting to be available this summer, and will only be more so, but it's not like there's a bunch of them sitting on the lot right this minute for you, I don't think.
How much is it? I'll tell you, $19,265 you know, for uh-huh. the one...
The one that you pedal. That's uh-huh. the one
yes, that's got two pedals that power it, one on the left, one on the right.
Right.
Much like your big wheel used to.
If you want it fully loaded, 28,000, the four-wheel drive hybrid.
I'm reading an article from the Columbia Basin Herald, which is a newspaper based in Eastern Washington. These cars will be available over in Moses Lake, places like that. They already got them on the lot. And they're saying 26.9 to start with for front-wheel drive and 28.5 for the four-wheel drive models.
That's about right.
Okay.
The one as tested was even more. The one they show you next to the windmills there was 32,240. So if you want one really loaded, $32,000.
If you want a big gas guzzler really loaded, that's just about the same.
Yeah. So it's you're not paying a premium.
Which, yeah, that's nice to see.
I wonder if these will catch on.
That's the only thing I didn't like about the little Toyotas and the Honda, is that they're so small. You know, I mean, I'm of the probably the misconception that the smaller the car is, the less safe you're going to be in it. I mean, that's probably just my own. You know,
I think there's depending on the vehicle, some vehicles are built better than others.
Right. I got the new Renault Eggshell at home. That's feel real safe about one of those. Well, I used to have one of those Le Cars.
There shouldn't really be an option for these things to catch on or not. If they can figure out a way to make a car to be more efficient and still to go as fast as anybody wants and be as dependable as anybody wants, you shouldn't make the old gas guzzlers anymore, should you? I mean, shouldn't this technology just progress to where the point to where you just phase out the old V8 engine?
Are you saying that the companies should be leaders and not just respond to supply and demand?
Yeah, if this thing works as great as it sounds like it works, if it'll get you up to speed on the freeway, if it'll pack all your kids and all their soccer brat friends, then why would you make it?
And they should force them down our throats?
Well, they should just...
Like a parrot trying to drink wine out of that girl's mouth?
They should phase out the old... I mean, you don't still see Model Ts out there on the lot because they came up with a better car. Now, admittedly, there's still people who love to collect classic Model Ts, but if you've got a better machine here, why would you? I mean, I'm not saying next year, but eventually you shouldn't have the choice between a 10 mile to the gallon car or a 30 mile to the gallon
car.
Quick
poll on the phone. Quick poll for all you drivers listening. Would you be upset if the car companies announced that as of the year, because they do this with some products, the government has said that after a certain year, all television must be digital.
You can't find leaded gas anymore.
Leaded gas is gone. Boom.
Gone.
Would you be upset if there was an announcement? It would probably have to be, this is something the Democrats would do, actually. It would have to be voted on and announced that as of the year 2006, no more gas cars will be sold. All will be hybrids. That's too soon, actually. It's going to take longer than that. But
what you want to do is you want to get that in about 8 or 10, so you get your second term out of carry. And
would you be for that, or would you think, wait, no, don't take my oil car away?
It should be mandatory. If you find a better way to do things, you know, you should progress towards doing it if it's better for everybody.
1-800-252-1025.
So you'd be for mandatory condom use then, right?
What do you mean mandatory? Is that a better way, you think?
Well, if you're going to eliminate overpopulation of the species, totally wipe out any kind of sexually transmitted diseases,
it's hard to police that.
Mandatory condom use.
Really? Well, you wipe out the species entirely.
Well.
Because you won't have any humans.
Oh, way to think it through.
Joe's saying mandatory, or you're saying mandatory for anybody who isn't married.
Right.
And once they have their two children,
right,
that they're not allowed, the government says you're not allowed to not
and you
use
have your
condom.
Mandatory
that would be
vasectomy.
Extremely extreme.
Saying you quit selling whatever didn't work as well. That's usually the way things go. You don't see that, you know, once a 5-megapixel digital camera's out, not too many are buying the 1-megapixel.
Kevin is a green machine. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah. I believe Joe's 100% correct on this. We need to set up our kids' future and change trends and try to make this a better world and make it last longer.
Mike, would you agree that we should make a mandatory and tell the car companies, all right, you've got a better product now, stop making the other one? What do you think, Mike? Mike?
Hi there.
Yes, Mike. Did you hear anything I said?
I did not.
Okay. Kevin just said Joe's 100% correct. set up the future for our children, inform the car companies that they have only a few more years and they've got to phase out gas-guzzling cars and make them all hybrids. What would you say?
I like the concept. I was telling Mike on the phone, I read an article in the paper about 3 days ago that did say right at this period in time, all of the owners of hybrid cars, there's twice as many complaints with these motors and the way they function as a regular gas-burning vehicle.
Well, right now, but they're new.
Absolutely.
Remember Windows 3.1?
Mm-hmm. It's growing pains, buddy.
Yeah, once they get that straightened out, I would not want to go back to anything other than an alternative vehicle. But at this very moment, you know, it's almost kind of hard to go out and drive one of those.
Right, well, but if they make an announcement in the next 4 years, we're going to phase out gas-only cars, you would be okay with that?
I would.
Okay.
I'd love to get off the Middle East dole and onto our own dole.
Charles in Linwood. Hello, Charles.
Oh, yeah, I'm just kind of worried about in Oregon, they were saying that they're not going to tax us on the gas because the more efficient the cars become, the less they're going to be able to get their money for the taxes on the gas, so they're going to be charging us by the mile. And somehow Big Brother's going to be able to watch us on the road and find out how far we're going and then tax us that way. So
well,
I'd rather just keep the big cars around so Big Brother isn't there looking over our shoulders.
Talk like this scares people in Oregon because they're, by law you have to have somebody pump your gas. That's a lot
right.
of jobs. If gas pumping goes away, you got a lot of guys with nothing to do.
Right, have to retrain them as armpit hair braiders.
Thank you. You know, I wouldn't make that an argument because the government's going to get its tax. I love the armpit hair braider. The government's going to get its tax money one way or the other.
You're right.
If you get twice as many miles per the gallon, then there's going to be shortfalls for education in the state budget. Here is Owen in Mount Vernon. Phase out the old cars, Owen.
Yeah, I totally agree with Joe there, and great to talk to you guys. I drive a gas guzzler Jeep, 15 miles to the gallon, and it's a killer on the pocketbook.
Wow, and what's interesting is that these cars are about as popular compared to gas cars as non-alcoholic beer is compared to Budweiser, and yet every single call says that's a great idea.
You know, it's a great idea. I don't drink myself either, and I don't drink the non-alcoholic because it doesn't taste as good. But, you know, I don't see any reason why any car company can't take their existing vehicle bodies and put an engine in it that's going to give at least 30 to 40 miles to the gallon. The technology is definitely there, and I don't see a problem with phasing out the old vehicles. I mean, my mother has a hard time finding records for her old phonograph player because, you know, CDs and MP3s are a better product. You can do the same thing with gas engines.
And I don't care about my mother either. That's what you're saying, right?
Mom can just hum songs.
All right, thank you. That was very good. All right, I want to find someone to argue. James says, I'd like to refute Communist Joe. James, go ahead.
Ooh.
Yeah, hey, the reason people quit buying, or it's hard to find LPs, and you don't get Model Ts, is because people quit buying them on their own because a better product came out, not because the government came out and said you can't make LPs anymore. So if the car companies come up with a better product, people will buy it. That's a free market system. That's capitalism. Communism, they'll force it down our throat. This is what you have to drive.
Government does make standards when it comes to broadcast, though, and they are
sure.
switching us all over to digital televisions, and they're doing it in a certain timetable, and all your televisions will, you know, eventually some will be backwards compatible. All right, James, I that's a relatively good argument, but someone else is calling Joe a communist, too. Rebecca says Joe is a communist. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Hi there. Yeah, Joe is really spouting some communistic views there, saying that we have to follow what the government says if the government says we have to get rid of our gas-guzzling cars.
All I said is if this proves out to be as good of a car as one that gets 10 miles to the gallon, why should the car companies even be able to make those cars that only get 10 miles to the gallon? If they've come up with a better product, why should there even be an option to have an inferior one?
You didn't say that, Joe. You said that you said that the government would have to make people drive these cars.
Let me get Joe's back on this one. Rebecca?
Yeah?
What is appropriate for the government? Things that involve public safety, right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you breathe? Do you use oxygen?
Yeah. I'm also a consumer, and I...
What's ruining your air faster than anything, and what's destroying your health faster than anything? Smog, air pollution caused by cars, right?
Well, no, you also have jet planes. Are they going to stop making jet planes?
No, we're going to have the pedal jet plane
eventually. I don't want a hybrid jet. It only goes 35 miles an hour.
And never once did I say they would make you stop driving gas guzzlers. All I said is they would not be available to be sold.
Stop building them.
No, Joe, you said that the government should make people drive these cars.
I said that they should not be...
Let's not
it's das Vidanya, Joe.
Let's say you can drive a Model T if you want to, Rebecca, but not many people do.
I understand your argument against government getting involved. The argument for is that it's a health issue, and our safety and well-being depends on improving the environment. Would you agree with that?
To a certain point, I also think that there's a freedom of choice here.
To a certain point? Well, sure, you can buy all these antique cars, you can keep them up, you can maintain your Model T.
Oh, yeah, and then if the government starts saying, okay, we can't have any more gas-guzzling cars, what's going to happen to all the gas stations? People with all these old cars that, like I have all these 60
muscle cars.
They'll
just jack up the price of Slim Jims. It'll be fine.